Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our final study in the book of Jonah. This is chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, titled, "And Should Not I Spare Nineveh?" For the conclusion of this two-part message, go to our website at BBFOhio.com and scroll down to the Most Recent Studies playlist, where you can watch the video or simply listen to the audio by clicking the appropriate button. And to hear all seven messages in 14 parts, scroll down to the list of complete book studies at that same page and click the button for Jonah. The website again is bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And should not I spare Nineveh? This is part one of two of our current events update. Number one, as expected, the Died Suddenly documentary is being banned by the communists. Yep. Some of you have watched that. How many of you watched it? Yeah, look at that. You bunch of radicals. This is what it looked like on Twitter. Misleading is what they said. They didn't actually tell you what was misleading about it. And if you think of the word misleading, what they're mad about is that it's leading you away from their narrative. Yeah. That's what they mean by misleading. Because they didn't produce any information. And by the way, there's some gruesome parts on it. Turn your head or whatever, because those are short and there's a lot of other parts that aren't gruesome and they're just factual. But I looked at 3 p.m. today, it's still on Rumble and has nearly 6 million views in one day.
Amen.
So that means a lot of people are waking up to what's going on with this thing. And so go to Rumble and just do a search for Died Suddenly documentary. Put in those words in the video. That's what how I found it. Came right up. And that 5.1 million was earlier, and it was almost 6 million last I checked. Number two, the diesel fuel reserves. You've heard about that? There was some conversation on the internet about it. Both sides, right and left, are not telling you the facts. So let's give a little clarification about it. There is a diesel crisis here in the United States of America. It is historically as bad as it's been since I was a little kid. I was probably Caroline's age when Jimmy Carter had put us in this situation. Joe Biden's making Jimmy Carter look like a good president. Amen. Diesel fuel inventories in the East Coast are at their lowest level ever heading into the winter, prompting some areas in the Northeast to ration fuel. According to one estimate, the U.S. has only 25 days of diesel fuel, the lowest since 2008. Now, here's where the disinformation is coming in. From the left, they're trying to act like it's nothing. But some of the conservative and right-wing websites are trying to scare everybody and make you think that in 25 days we're going to be out of diesel fuel. That's not what it means. So the clarification is this. If production stopped today, we'd run out in 25 days. But there's no sign of it stopping completely. It's been less than it should be. But right now, they're maintaining the 25-day mark. Now, if a rough winter hits and some bad things happen, and that number shrinks, every day that number shrinks, that does mean probably the just by shrinking that number of 25 down to like 20, we would see a lot of skyrocketing prices. So it's something to pray about. But it's not a reason to panic. And if you're a believer in Christ and you know your God provides, Jehovah Jireh. So you don't need to panic about any of this stuff. And that's one of the reasons we have to remind some people of that with these current events updates. But a lot of times that's what we are giving you, current events updates, so you understand the panic is not real. We tried that back when the whole COVID thing was going on. Everybody's panicking. You're like, it's bad, but it's not the Black Death. You know, it's not something of that level. There are people getting sick. There are people dying from COVID, just like the flu. but we'll come back to that in a minute. So it's no reason to panic, but it is adding to already inflated costs. And so it's hitting people in the pocketbooks. And so heading into winter, this is a fact, you should have extra food, supplies, and alternative heating every winter. Especially, you know, some of us old people, you know, but then if you have kids, so you want to have extra food, extra supplies, and alternative heat. What I mean is if you lose your electricity, you should have propane heating. Some people use kerosene. That's more dangerous, and I can't breathe the fumes, so we go with propane. But we have two or three propane heaters that we keep handy, and if the electricity goes out, then we shut off a couple of the rooms and put those out. And it's happened a couple of times for a day or two, and that's what you do. That is the principle behind biblical texts like this, Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The principle is that you should do things in a way that are, we trust God today. We trust God to provide. But he also says you should use wisdom and do things in a manner that's wise. Number three, COVID vax misinformation comes from the Biden administration. And this isn't just, I always talk about it. This isn't politics. We're talking about people who are lying to you. I don't care if back when Donald Trump was president, you remember, we told you he was wrong about the COVID vaccine. And we don't care who is president, I don't care what party, if they're wrong, they're wrong. If they're lying to you, we're going to tell you. Now, this Dr. Jha, I guess is his name, he lied to the whole country yesterday. He said, quote, we can prevent every COVID death in America if everyone gets their updated booster. It's a flat-out lie. Not only is that a flat-out lie, this is from the liberal left-wing Washington Post today. Vaccinated people now make up a majority of the COVID deaths. And that's based on facts, statistics. So they censor the truth and promote lies. And it's what we call that Orwellian. And if you've never read 1984 or seen the movie, that's what that comes from, Orwell. And he wrote that book as a warning, and the Democrat Party and Rhino Progressive Republicans and other leftists in the Green Party and other places, they see it as a manual. And finally, just for some levity, with screenshots, this is a country singer named John Rich saying that's what his turkey looks like this year. Thanks, Joe. So I wait here for the rub down, then I go into the sauna. Sweet! They said California is the place we gotta flee. So they loaded up the truck and moved back to Tennessee. And today I am thankful that I'm not a turkey. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Oink, oink. And on the bright side, Jim. Still too soon? Everybody knows we're picking on Jim. All right, as I said, we're going to finish up our study of the book of Jonah. We titled this, And Should Not I Spare Nineveh? As a question, as the title. And Jonah chapter 4 is 11 verses. And Jonah is reacting to the revival in Nineveh. And I closed the last study by asking, if you had been able to preach the gospel and the whole city of Columbus were to get saved, wouldn't you be thrilled?
Yeah.
Jonah, not so much. So let's read verses 1 through 11, and we'll have you read the odd with me. So start right there in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the warning arose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Amen? I just find that just amazing. As I said, we ended our previous study on this happy note. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They were repentant and they did works meet for repentance. Their faith appeared very genuine and God received it, accepted it. So evidently they meant what they said when they said they had repented. However, as we see in verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, I have to defend Jonah to some extent. I'm not really defending him, but just explaining why would he not be happy about all these people turning to God? The reason is because Nineveh was Assyria, and these were horrible people. Jonah had seen some of the damage they'd already done in Israel. And they would torture their enemies when they would take prisoners. They didn't take a lot of prisoners, but when they did take prisoners, they would torture them. They were inhumane and abusive. And you can go out and actually read some accounts of that from ancient sources. So that's why Jonah has this attitude about Nineveh, that he'd rather just see them all perish. Because who knows what he had actually seen, but he had seen enough that that was his attitude. But then Jonah responds with this incredible prayer in verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. We showed you the map all the way across the Mediterranean. For I knew that thou art a gracious God. Remember, this is that mean old Testament God people are always talking about.
Yeah.
If he was as mean as people said he was, I don't think he'd save Nineveh. Would he?
Nope.
Jonah wanted him to be that mean God, that vindictive mean God that people talk about. I'll remind you, just always keep that in mind, that the God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Same God, both Testaments. The difference being the incarnation and his name revealed to us. But he's a gracious God, and he showed his grace to Nineveh. Basically what Jonah is saying is, I knew you'd save those who call on you. Yeah. He's upset by the fact that God keeps his word. God called on these Ninevites and they responded. And, you know, we were talking about just a moment ago. That's all you can do. It's not your job to save anybody. God, salvation is of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
What do? Well, you just explain to them the truth that God has about them and about Him. But I find it always helpful to explain, you know, what I'm telling you is what I personally had to come to understand. I had to understand that I am a sinner. And I deserved hell.
Amen.
But Jesus has provided for my salvation on the cross. He's paid the full price for my sin. And they buried Him and He rose from the dead bodily, conquering sin and death. What do you mean? He demonstrated His deity. A man or an angel could not raise their own bodies from the grave. And why did He do it? It's a spectacle. I love how Colossians talks about it in those terms. And He openly defeated them, and them being the devil and his angels and all the sins of the whole world, He defeated all that by being raised from the dead. And so Jonah, again, has that bad attitude. But sometimes Christians get a bad attitude.
Yeah.
These days, you preach the gospel to people and you give them the gospel traction. You pray for them and you don't see a lot of people getting saved. If there's anybody here seeing a lot of people saved, God bless you. Nobody I know is seeing a lot of people getting saved. We've seen people get saved. But it doesn't happen as much as we would like for it to. But that's none of our business. Our business is getting the gospel to the lost person. The rest is between God and that person. Jessica?
I know at the other church I went to, the missionaries would say to us, or that we can't, but they said that they can't report on all the people that have come to Christ because the people here won't think it's real.
Well, yeah, and there are places where God's harvesting a lot of people. Yeah.
Here in America won't think it's...
And historically, it's the way it's been, where there's prosperity, it usually results in apostasy. And so you'll find most of those places, like in places in Africa, China, communist countries, you know, where the elite live like kings and everybody else is poor. And that's where they're more open to the gospel. That's historically been the case. Johnny?
I guess what we're talking about here ties into our Bible reading for the day.
Yes.
With Ezekiel and God saying, okay, I'm going to send you as a prophet. They're rebellious. They're probably not going to listen.
Exactly. It's in chapter 3. You're not held responsible for what they do, but you are responsible if you don't warn them.
Yeah.
And that's where we come in. We're the warning team to go out. So, or I'd say, and for that reason, verse 3 says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now here's where I have to say Jonah is a bit of a drama queen. Three times in one chapter, he basically, I just wish you were dead. And what I get out of that, though, you know, he's like, just shoot me. How many of you heard people talk like that? And it's kind of a silly thing, I guess you'd say. Sadly, some people are serious about it. I don't think Jonah was quite that serious, but the Lord's patience is amazing. I think about especially my early years as a Christian, and we talked about it some last week or two. Young Christians, new Christians will do things that are really, you know, they think they're really doing something spiritual, and then other times they just will repeat the same errors over and over. It's similar. Fathers get a taste of that, you know. Mothers get a taste of it. Your kids, you know, you love them, but they'll drive you crazy sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Some of you are going to admit it. I know I drove my parents. Norma says amen. I drove them crazy a lot. Well, think about how God, all the Christians in the world have done that to Him to some extent. So verse 4 says, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Doest thou well to be angry? And we just talked about it. Obviously not. That's not the right reaction. And is that really the right way to, or my dad would always say, is that any way to act? No. So I'm sure if we're honest, we acted just as nutty at this at some point in our life. Our Christian walk.
Disgust.
What?
He says disgust.
You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And so, look back on your life and how you acted with the Lord. And that helps you deal with other people when they're acting nutty. That's what Jonah's doing, is what happens when we forget our own sinfulness and what we deserve. If we get too high and mighty, Paul says, take heed lest you fall. Why? Because Christians can forget. We forget. We get so used to being saved and so used to, and if we're living our lives in a moral way and we're not, out breaking the law and all that, and we're getting along with the church family and we're doing this and that for the Lord, and so we start to think kind of high and mighty of ourselves. And then when we see somebody over here trip and fall, I always tell everybody, I know the Bible says forgetting those things which are behind. And he's talking about don't let that stuff bog you down, but don't ever forget that you're a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
And don't ever let that cause you to look down your nose at people. And don't ever get to where you don't want to see somebody saved. Now, I admit I have to pray about that. We were talking about it just a few minutes ago. I would love to see Hillary Clinton get saved.
Amen.
I'd love to see Barack Obama get saved.
Amen.
I'd love to see Donald Trump get saved.
Amen.
I don't wish hell on anybody.
Amen.
I'd love every Michigan Wolverine to get saved. And there's a lot of Ohio State Buckeyes who need to be saved. And I'd love to see them all saved. But there's some times where I have to fight that. Sometimes. But the silliness gets worse. Look at verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He's still hoping God's going to kill them all. He's getting a... He's kind of up in the nosebleed, but it's so that he can see it all. Hey, that. Yeah, the booth. He's up in the booth. That's good, Doug. I hadn't thought about that. Jenny.
Also, he's on the east side, so wouldn't that mean his back is to God?
Well, I don't know if they really press that too much, but I mean, it's there. If you want to teach that, go ahead. So God responds with a little illustration. That's what the next few verses are telling us. And the Lord God prepared a gourd. What's a gourd?
Something with leaves.
Yeah, the plant has the leaves and everything. So the gourd, I believe, is the kind of thing you see bring out this time of the year, don't they? And put them on tables and everything. Yeah. Any of you grow in gourds? You've grown them?
Yeah.
So I've never grown one, so I don't know how big the plant gets, but it must be a pretty leafy big plant that it'll cover Jonah's head up. And it says, and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. And he's kind of getting his mind off of Nineveh now, and he's just glad this gourd's giving him some shade. And verse 7 says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered.
Maybe it's a big pumpkin like a circle bill.
No, it's what Brian said. It's what Brian said. But the point is, it's providing shade. And now God is going to use this as an illustration. So he prepares a worm. Some of the little children's books have a cute little worm and he'll be looking all smiling there. But I don't think it was quite that, probably that cute. But it says in verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement, am I saying that right? Vehement east wind. That means it's a, you ever been in a wind that's uncomfortable? Hot and coming down on you like that? And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted. And wished in himself, hey, there it is again, to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Yeah, Johnny?
Just something interesting I've noticed before here, because I noticed it says actually that Jonah built a booth.
Mm-hmm.